It is 20 minutes after the hour, and it being a Tuesday, it be Donald Clark. Does anybody ever call you Donald, or do you always Dr. Sir?
Oh, no. Very few people call me Donald. It's okay. Don.
Yeah.
Or Dr. Don.
Okay. Would Andrea call you Donald if she were upset with you?
No, she would call me something else.
No. Yeah, okay. Well, did your mom have to stick her head out the front door when you were a kid and say, Donald, and call you back to dinner, maybe?
No, she would say Donnie.
Donnie, okay.
Yeah. My nickname when I was a kid was Donnie.
All right. Well, when you got Doctor in front of your name, I guess they dropped that. There's no such thing as Dr. Donnie, I don't think. It just seemed incompatible here. Yeah. Dr. Don is a biochemist and a vigneron and a member of the Board of Creation Moments, and he joins us just about every Tuesday morning. We talk about matters of faith and creation and Genesis, and today, Stonehenge. And we talked a lot about DNA, but apparently the evidence that they're talking about in this article from the New Scientist Daily is derived from DNA research. Can you really tell what makes up a person by looking at their DNA, and it goes back centuries, and say you came from a particular geographical area? Does that make sense to you?
Well, they're doing it all the time. You know,
they're claiming ancestors. It. How do we know? You know, what's...
You have some DNA markers that kind of identify you with this group or that group. And, you know, it's DNA and me and 23 and all this, you know, these DNA testing that you can send a sample of your saliva off and find out where, you know, what your heritage is. Of course, you could ask your great grandfather or grandmother if they're still alive. And we used to keep, I have one from my ancestors, but... you know, we used to keep ancestral, you know, not maps per se, but ancestral
charts or diagrams. I've seen those. Yeah,
charts. Yeah, that, you know, this was your great grandfather and
little
your
box that goes into two branches. You know, the husband and the wife, and then the kids and so forth. Yeah, I've got a Bible that does that, although it's blank. I've never filled it in. You know, it gives you the forms. So, yeah,
your family tree.
Well, yeah, the family. There you go. That's what I'm looking for. So, you know, you can at least know when, for example, if you're an American, when your folks came over, or your ancestry came over from Europe, assuming you're a European descent. And so we're talking about European descents, actually, this morning. And we're talking about folks that populated Stonehenge, or actually built Stonehenge. The Neolithic human, Neolithic humans, Neo meaning new, Lithic meaning stone or slab, so the new stones, if you will.
Yeah.
So the new stone people, and talking about when they possibly could have arrived, you know, in Britain. To build such places like Stonehenge that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did, as you suggested, they did DNA analysis, and their conclusions were, well, hey, these people came up, they followed kind of the Mediterranean westward from no other than Anatolia. And Anatolia is Turkey today.
Now, the point being that DNA research, this is what I extract from this article. It's interesting in and of itself about Stonehenge and those people. But DNA is correcting a lot of the early misconstruction of human history that has been made by evidence from other sciences before DNA evidence was available. And it's turning scientific heads, is it not?
Well, I don't know if this one is turning all of that, you know, that many heads. It's not, you know, this is not necessarily an unexpected result, actually. And if you're a biblical scholar, you would know that all the peoples of the earth migrated from Anatolia. migrated from the Turkey-Iranian area, in particular from, of course, the Tower of Babel. And God dispersed the peoples by confusing the languages. So all the languages that we have today are actually variants, if you will, from the original languages that, God confused. The people who were, you know, building a tower up to heaven to basically reach up to God. And actually, the reason why he confused their languages and dispersed the people, because one, they weren't obeying the commandment to go into to fill all the earth. But two, they really were reaching up into heaven to become, they wanted to be God. So we had the sin of Satan, if you will, or of Lucifer being transferred over into the people, and they wanted to be little gods. If they got up high enough into heaven, they felt that probably they would be gods. Of course, that wasn't going to happen. So anyway, God confuses the languages, and because their languages are now different, they couldn't speak with one another to continue constructing Babel, the Tower of Babel. And so peoples in people groups started to migrate from the Turkey-Iranian kind of border of today, or the plain of Shinar, if you will, where the Tower of Babel was. And some folks migrated west, and some folks migrated west and north, and some folks migrated kind of west and south into Africa. And then, of course, some folks migrated eastward towards two groups of people, actually two major groups of people migrated eastward. One was the Hamites, descendants from the Hamites, which were darker skinned folks, because Ham was a dark man. And the other, so they, the Hamites, went south towards Pakistan and India, and ultimately, you know, to Asia from that route. And then there were the Japhites, the descendants of Japheth, who went north and eastward towards Asia that way, and populated the northern parts. Well, it was also the Japhites that went west through Turkey and Greece, and some traveled probably through the mainland, and others probably hopped on ships and went from island to island, you know, more following the Mediterranean and up that way. So, you know, there were multiple routes of migration up into Europe. And so you had probably multiple waves of people. It wasn't just a massive, you know, migration. I mean, they probably migrated a little bit and then, you know, settled for a while and then migrated again. And so this migration took a period of years. But the interesting thing about this article, one, it specifically names Anatolia as the region of these people that migrated sort of towards the Mediterranean and up into Europe, and finally winding up in Stonehenge.
And of course, that's DNA evidence now confirming what we would believe from the Genesis account.
Yeah, yes, it was. And they, the other thing, you know, the guy that they mentioned, now, they based their dating, if you will, on carbon, you know, carbon 14. And so they date the people reaching, these people at least, reaching Britain for about 4,000 BC. Now, we know the flood was 600 BC. The 4000 BC, give or take, it was probably later than that overall, because they have the other group of people that were already there, migrating around 6000 BC. So,
talking about hunter-gatherers that populated Britain before these people arrived indirectly from Anatolia, Turkey.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you had the dates, again, are probably a little off from biblical, what we know of biblical dates. Usher's chronology, if you will, of the Bible, based on the generations of peoples, and so be that as it may, it's not far off. It's at least in the 4000, 6000 BC. So, but the general idea then is that these people are migrating from a region that the Bible says, hey, this is where all peoples actually should have migrated from, from the earth.
I should add that this article does not reference the Bible or Genesis, and it's not written by people who necessarily believe the biblical account. But it's independent scientific evidence derived from DNA that tends to confirm or reinforce the biblical account. This is scientific fact working in the other direction.
Yes, it is. And so we have.
You got company there.
Yeah, some daughter's walking along the pond.
So my dog is
giving me issues, but. Be that as it may. Okay, so we have this article, like I said, is kind of supporting the biblical record, if you will, from that perspective. But I found the other interesting, there's a number of interesting things about this article, but the other interesting thing is that you had a people group that dealt in stone. Right. So, we call this Stonehenge, and they're big stones. And so people already came with the knowledge of how to carve stones, for example, and put them up in such a way as to, make something. In this case, apparently an astronomical type of instrument that they could use to know the different seasons, if you will. At least that's what I think that they did with the Stonehenge. Which, if you were building, for example, a stone tower, you would come with those skills. If you were the stonemason, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, I find that interesting. That okay, yeah, these folks had that skill. They say that the article says these folks were farmers, as opposed to hunter gatherers, which was another group of people that had arrived earlier, about 2,000 years earlier. They say, I would say, well, they probably arrived a little earlier.
Well, what would you say is the time frame for the Tower of Babel, with respect to the flood?
Oh, that was probably about 700 years, mm-hmm, or so after the flood. It wasn't very long. It maybe even, I used to have a chart of it, maybe even earlier, earlier than that.
Most of us picture the movement of people groups taking thousands of years, because there wasn't a determined or planned exodus or immigration. We kind of envision people drifting gradually over time around according to crop failures and crop successes and seasons and so forth. But they could have moved to Britain from Anatolia within a few years, correct? It didn't have to be centuries or eons.
No, it didn't have to be at all. Now, a few years is probably a little short time, because it's not like you had roads and you, mm-hmm, so you had to kind of make your way through all of this. So it would take you a while to migrate even then.
Except that. And this goes back to other readings I've done on Stonehenge. There's ample evidence that there was commerce between the European continent and Great Britain thousands of years ago. Could not commerce, the need for trade and sustenance have sped up that migration?
Well, it would have. I mean, if you're especially, well, you know, of course, the UK and Ireland, they're islands. Mm-hmm. And so you had to have a boat, you know, to get over there in the first place. you know, those peoples, as well as, you know, Norway, and mm-hmm. of course, you could come up through Denmark and stuff like that. So if you were going to be, you know, successful, you would have had to create some type of vessel to be able to get to the mainland, where if you're doing trade, as you you know, suggest, you would have had to get over to the mainland from the UK and vice versa. And so technology had to develop. It could have developed really early, like I said.
And of course, something else that science in general has discounted from the past. Oh, those people were too primitive to have been able to build boats and sail. But evidence is revealing otherwise, that the people from eons ago, ages ago, did sail and did transport themselves perhaps as far as across the Atlantic.
Well, then I was just thinking about the Etsy man. We talked about last year, the year before. That he had evidence on his body, on his persons, of having advanced technology in all sorts of things. I mean, the making of clothing and the making of shoes, making of weapons.
His primitive cell phone.
Exactly. Yeah, I think he had the iPhone 1.
Could be.
We constantly denigrate these people, you know, assuming that they were really stupid because they couldn't have had been advanced as knowledgeable about all these things as we are. Well, they were much more knowledgeable about a lot of stuff. And I think a knowledge of or an interest of or development of sailing has been around for thousands of years. There'd be no reason that they couldn't have figured out how to put a boat in the water.
Well, my dad, yes, by the fact that these peoples were, you know, on in Britain, you know, kind of demonstrates that they had to sail there. They, you know, it wasn't necessarily a land bridge that went over there. But the whole migration of the peoples, and the more we dig, I guess the conclusion from the article is that the more we dig, the more information we have, the different ways that we have at looking at where peoples originated from, the more we see that it coincides with the biblical record as opposed to contradicting biblical record. And, you know, some of these... The only, kind of not necessarily interesting, but they make a statement in here that says that these Neolithic farmers, they had darker skin with blue eyes, whereas the folks that came after them had lighter skin, paler skin, and brown eyes, and brown and dark hair. Now, the dark skin you would normally think would go with the brown eyes, and the lighter, you know, the lighter skin would go, you know, with the blue eyes. But unless there's an error in the article, mm-hmm. they're suggesting from the DNA analysis that they must have had genes, for example, for dark skin and the blue eyes versus the lighter skinned and the brown eyes. Now, we know most Europeans have lighter skin and blue eyes. Not all of them, but, you know, the those that probably were direct, not necessarily direct descendant, because we're all a mix these days anyway, from the Japhethites, as opposed to those that were Hamites that would have had darker skin and dark eyes. So, you know, I'm wondering where those people are.
Well, I'm wondering if perhaps these people left from Turkey but went south initially, and maybe across northern Africa westward, and then up through the Iberian Peninsula. That's another migration route that's been around for a long time, and in taking decades or generations to do that, would have mixed with some of the African people. Although we know, again, from DNA research, as I understand it, that in Egypt, it was a white, populated by whites, by Caucasians. And it wasn't until you got farther south in Africa that you ran across black people.
Right. So, as you suggest, there could have been obviously some mix, because the blue-eyed probably came from the Japhethites. But, you know, even that, I mean, the blue eyes is recessive. It's not a dominant trait. So, you know, you would have had both blue-eyed genes. So the brown eyes, it could have been a recessive blue-eyed in those people that had, you know, like the lighter skin, for example. So, anyway, all of this is, interesting. The more that folks delve into this, I'm sure the clearer the picture is going to be where people migrate, migrated from, and what roots and what people groups, they came from. Mm-hmm. These Stonehenge people, interestingly enough, they say, well, okay, they came from Anatolia, but they went through the Portugal-Spain route up, and headed north from Portugal and Spain. Well, that would give you the opportunity of having, if you went kind of the southern route through northern Africa, would have given you the opportunity to mix, as you say, with the Hamites as you were going through the North African region.
Well, it's interesting that this particular article, it's one of the first I've seen where purely secular science is coming up with data, information, evidence that confirms the biblical story of creation, or at least supports it in part, and maybe turn some heads. I put a link to this article in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com. However, there was an internal link I was hoping it would come along with it that goes to the original publication, which was in Nature, Ecology, and Evolution, but that internal link is broken. So that doesn't seem to be working for me, at least. But if you want to follow the link and read up on this, there's a link at brokenroadradio.com in the chat window. You can click on that and see the same article we've been discussing. Dr. Don, a member of the board of Creation Moments, I want to mention their website to you. Creationmoments.com is the website. And it's a repository, an archive of lots of scientific information that explains and supports the biblical story of creation. You would, if you're at all interested in how things got started, really, you ought to go there, take a look, and then peruse some of those articles, some of the videos, a lot of information there at creationmoments.com. Don, thank you very much for explaining this to us. It's a delight to have you with us. We'll look forward to next week.
Good program. Good show.
Okay.
Interesting.
Well, thank
stuff.
You, folks. And yes, we'll see you next week. Absolutely.
And scratch your dog behind his ear there and say hi for us too, okay?
All right, we'll do. Yeah, she needs a shave, actually.
I think
she's
so.
Pretty shaggy.
I think so. Don, thanks. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
See you, Don.
Okay, so long.